and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a terrific Thursday today. It's sunny and hot down here in Florida. Looks like we have some rain later on, which is always a bonus. Cools it down some. And how are you doing, Dad, over there in Greece towards the end of your trip?
Well, I'm doing absolutely wonderful, Austin. We're flying home tomorrow. You're absolutely right. I had an interesting talk today with a young fellow who was an Air Force lieutenant stationed down there in Charleston, South Carolina. He was having dinner with his wife at the same restaurant we were at, and he told me he was so happy that Barack Obama was out of the White House and that the morale of the military has gone way, way, way back up, and that they were so happy that Trump threw the transgenders out. So it was another interesting conversation with him today also. But then I also talked to someone today that was from Somalia. Can you believe this? And it was a black gentleman and I don't know who the other people were with him. And they didn't look as though they were refugees. So I started asking them questions. And boy, you talk about getting shut down, slapped down, and basically nobody wanted to talk to me. That was one of those, we're not making any comment to you about anything. We don't want to talk to you. Okay. So I thought that was interesting. So the Somalians are here. Now, as you know, Somalia, they run a lot of drugs. They don't do a lot of drugs. I mean, I'm sorry, a lot of guns. And they're in a constant state of war, it seems like, in Somalia. So it was one of those interesting things. I don't know how in the world the guy got here if he wasn't a refugee coming out of Somalia, or unless he was doing some type of diplomatic corps. I have no idea. But it's been an interesting day talking to the Uber drivers again, who, again, we want to reiterate, are working for about $3 an hour here. You know, so they're it's just the economy here has completely collapsed. So if you guys get a chance to come to Greece to support these guys, do so. And I've got a really good restaurant that's got great prices and great food. If you guys want to know what that is, if you decide to come over, I'll tell you what it is. That's here in Athens. And so, I feel bad for them, Austin. It's one of those things that you kind of go, wow, you know, even the United States, as messed up as the politicians have made it, we still are the greatest country on this planet. There's nothing even close to us. And I'm so glad, and we're all so blessed, if you're listening today and you're in the United States, that you were born an American citizen and that you don't have to worry about coming out of Somalia or Syria or some other war-torn area to try to avoid this, having your family get shot, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, that's definitely a very true statement. I mean, especially you're over there now, you're getting to see all this stuff firsthand again in that area. And it's rough. The bankers have completely tried to collapse Greece financially. I mean, that's what they do. I mean, the banking cartel likes to do that in almost every country. They've done that for centuries, if not millenniums. I mean, go all the way back to biblical times. The money handlers were always the ones that were controlling everything, in a sense, because they were able to manipulate the currency, manipulate the scales, and in turn control a lot more things than they should have ever had control of. And that's exactly what we've seen now in Greece. They've totally dominated the financial system. And you know, when you start having bail-ins, you know, full-blown bail-ins, that's a rough time over there, man. And so, I mean, that's where it's headed to a lot of countries. I just think the United States and a lot of other places are ahead of the curve so far. But if we continue to allow these bankers and this globalist banking cartel to control the financial system like the Federal Reserve, they're going to do the same thing to all these other countries. It just will take much, much longer because they want to milk every single penny they can get out of the United States before they finally let it collapse, because there's no reason to let it go down until they can literally extract every pound of flesh they can get out of it, Dad.
You're absolutely right, Austin. What's your first story?
First one going in today. This is pretty wild now with Blue Cross Blue Shield, thanks to the cognitive truth for discovering the Blue Cross Blue Shield Doctor Incentive Booklet for 2016. I talked about this last year with another insurance company as far as how they get bonuses for fully vaccinating. And this is pretty crazy now. They actually have it on their website with cognitive truths. And they wrote on here, they went through it all, and they said the average American pediatrician has 1,546 patients, though some pediatricians see many more. The vast majority of those patients are very young, perhaps children, transition to a family physician or stop visiting the doctor at all as they grow up. As the table above explains, which refers back to the program booklet, the Blue Cross Blue Shields pays pediatricians $400 per fully vaccinated child. If your pediatrician has just 100 fully vaccinated patients turning 2 this year, they get 40 $40,000. Yes, Blue Cross Blue Shield pays your doctor a $40,000 bonus for fully vaccinating 100 patients under the age of 2 in 1 year. If your doctor manages to fully vaccinate 200 patients under the age of 2 in 1 year, that bonus jumps to $80,000. However, there is a catch. The rules dictate, and I quote, that the pediatrician lose the whole bonus unless at least 63% of his patients are fully vaccinated, which includes the flu vaccine. So it is not just $400 on your child's head, essentially. It could be the entire bonus. That means the decision not to vaccinate might be costing your doctor $40,000 or more, depending on the size of their practice. That is a significant incentive. Now you see why a lot of these pediatricians literally become irate and say, I'm not going to see you anymore. I'm refusing to be your pediatrician if you're not going to fully vaccinate your child with a bunch of toxic-laden vaccines against your will. So if you don't want to have that done to them, I'm not going to see you anymore. Now you know why, because it's more beneficial for them to drop you as a patient than to have you as a patient and your child as a patient that's not getting vaccinated, because they don't want this going against them on their bonus structure with Blue Cross Blue Shield. And that's what Blue Cross Blue Shield does in their booklet. I don't know about all the other ones, but I'm sure if they do this, I'm sure a lot of the other insurance companies and incentivize these doctors. But think about it for a second, guys. They're pushing $40,000 bonus to have just 100 kids under the age of 2 and 1 year vaccinated. That's a significant amount of money. There's a reason why they're doing this. If you look at the research on what vaccines actually prevent, and most of the vaccines are for very mild diseases, like we've talked about before, like the chickenpox vaccine and so forth, these are almost useless vaccines. There's no reason to go through with them. So the only reason the insurance company like Blue Cross Blue Shield would spend this much money to guarantee that these children are vaccinated is if they are being incentivized by the pharmaceutical and big vaccine to push their agenda. All this stuff is like a carousel. It goes around and around in order to keep the population as sick and as dumbed down as physically possible. And when you see stuff like this, it really confirms the fact that if you have a pediatrician that doesn't want to listen to you, you need to find somebody else, because incentivizing these guys to vaccinate these kids does absolutely nothing for their long-term health or well-being. It's all about increasing their paycheck every year, Deb.
No, that's exactly right. In fact, it's the whole point of the culture is to keep you into a dumbed-down stupor for as long as they possibly can, so they can do their junk to you as much as they can, as quickly as they can, to enslave you and enslave the masses while you're still sleeping. And the vaccinations are one of the primary ways they do that, because of where they dumb down the brain because of the aluminum. So yes, I'm not surprised at all that these guys aren't being incentivized. The only thing I want to know is this. Who owns and who controls Blue Cross Blue Shield now? Who are the primary stockholders? I mean, is this another Sabatin Kambalos group of bankers that have come in and bought Blue Cross Blue Shield? Because they're a huge corporation, probably so, but I don't know that. You guys can check it out for me, let me know. But something else is going on, because how in the world do they get this agenda through, and why is this not illegal? I mean, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard of, Austin. What do you think?
No, it absolutely is. There's no question about it that, I mean, you start looking at collusion here. When, I mean, $40,000, I mean, that's a significant bonus. I guess they say because the vaccines are required by the CDC, that they basically, the CDC structure is requiring them, requiring the pediatricians to do so. It's not illegal, because that's the government, the Center for Disease Control, is wanting these vaccinations to be required. So, of course, the government's never going to go in and step in on this. Plus, you got to think about the entire overall goal of the vaccines, what you just talked about. These guys are never going to go against themselves. Everything's collusion with Big Pharma, Big Vaccine, Big Agri, with glyphosate and Dow and Monsanto, to all the boys up in Congress. You see it, how this stuff constantly gets passed in the law, and everybody goes, I didn't get to vote on that. I say that all the time. The government is supposed to be by the people, for the people, and we elect these officials to go up there and do this stuff. And then I talk to people, and everybody goes, I didn't vote for that. I didn't want that. I don't understand for one single reason why Congress would allow this to happen. It's all about money and blackmail. That's what it all stems back down to in the long run. So everybody has to understand that when you go to your pediatrician and these guys are hammering you to try and vaccinate your kids, you really need to do your own unbiased research. I'm not telling you you can't vaccinate your kids. You can do whatever you want to do. You're a grown adult and you have kids. But be sure you're getting all the answers and all the research before you go in and let these guys strong arm you into injecting this stuff into your children that you have no idea the short and long term side effects it's going to have. Because we talked about on the show yesterday, you know, they're pushing so hard for this HPV vaccine now, where literally less than like 5% of people that have gotten HPV have gotten cervical cancer. Yet they want to use this vaccination like, oh my gosh, if you don't get it, you're going to get cancer immediately. That's not the case at all, but they're pushing it on them, and this stuff has unbelievably horrible side effects, and it's definitely sad, Dad. So, I mean, do your research, guys. Read articles. Make your own decision. Don't let these guys push you into forcing you to do something you don't want to do.
Absolutely. I mean, I just, you're right. Oh, by the way, Princeton University now, I don't know why they call them Ivy League. They need the Ivy League school. They need to call them a bunch of weirdos. They're now asking their students to pick from 6 genders on their applications. Princeton University is giving students the option of picking a gender or reportedly several genders. The Ivy League Student Centers, basically known as Tiger Hub, allows but not requires students to select one or more of the following: a cisgender, a gender queer, gender nonconforming, trans, transgender, man, woman, or other. I mean, here's what I suggest you guys do if you want to go to these schools. Here's what I suggest you do. Put yourself down as a transgender, right? Put yourself down as Hispanic or black. Put yourself down as a transgender Hispanic or a transgender black. And basically, if they want to play this game with you, or if you're black, put yourself down as a transgender white or male. Just change it around and let them choke on it for a bit. Because if everybody starts doing that and playing this little stupid game with them, they're going to stop this garbage. They're going to stop it because they can't keep records.
Yeah.
What is he? We don't know. We can't ask. Okay. Well, we've got quotas we've got to fill. Is he black or is he white or is he Hispanic or is he Chinese? What is he? We don't know. We can't ask. See, you start messing with your system when you do that. That's what I suggest you guys do. What do you think, Austin?
No, I mean, it's an interesting idea because that's what they're saying now with this whole transgender thing. Is, I mean, if you want to be a 18-year-old girl now, you can put it on there. I'm an 18-year-old Hispanic girl. Just, okay, that's what I want to be today. If they're going to this level of insanity, this just absolute weirdness to where it doesn't matter what biological gender you are, it doesn't matter what you were born with, it doesn't matter what ethnicity you are, you can just decide to be something different whatever day you feel like doing. To me, it's funny. I would give it a shot. I don't know. I'm not in college anymore, so I don't have the opportunity to do that, but I would try and mess with them. Yeah, I'd put down, yeah, I'm a transgender female black. I'm black. That's what I'd put down there and see what they say. If they try and argue with me, I'd be like, no, you can't ask me. If you ask me, I'm offended.
I feel like a transgender black today. Leave me alone. This is what I am. Are you telling me I can't be that? I'm going to cause a riot here.
Yeah.
So just start messing with them with their own system. That's what I was. If I was still in college, this is what I do. I'd put down, I was a transgender black. And or transgender female black. There you go. Now they've got it all. Transgender female cis black. I mean, what is wrong with us? What is wrong with the population of this country? And what is wrong with Princeton? Oh, by the way, blue collar jobs are going unfilled in Ohio because the applicants can't pass drug tests. Unbelievable. A factory owner in Ohio says that she has good paying blue collar jobs available to her company, but it's difficult to fill those positions because 40% of the applicants fail a routine drug test. In 2014,
wow.
Ohio had the largest number of opioid-related deaths in the United States. An Ohio factory owner said Saturday that they cannot fill their positions whatsoever because they cannot pass the test. What do you think about that, Austin, when you have 40% of the applicants failing a test?
Well, it's sad. It really is. And the thing is, everybody has to start working in aggregate. If you have family, if you have kids, if you have cousins, uncles, whatever, you have to do the best you can to A, not allow it to escalate. And if it does escalate, you cannot continue to basically enable them. If they have an issue with drugs, you can't sit there and keep giving them money every week. And when they come to you and say they lost their job and this happened and they need more money, and you hand them another $500 in cash, and they come back 2 weeks later and they're stoned or they're sobered up and they need more cash. This is the routine I've seen with a lot of, this happened a lot of times, a lot of families I've seen. And it always continues to escalate. What needs to be done is people have to start coming together and helping one another out as far as that are in families and trying to get, detox programs done, trying to get them tapered off this stuff, trying to use good supplements like we have, like the omega-3s and B-complex, and try and get their chemical balance back in check, even look into compounds like kratom. You know, I'm not a huge fan of kratom, but it's much, much healthier than using straight up pain pills or heroin. There's no question about that, especially coming off of them. So if people start trying to do this, I think we could really start cutting back on the opiates. The problem is most people are too scared to say anything about it now, or they get so wrapped up in the family that we've seen this, what's happened before, and you know, with other families, and you know, they have a son that gets wrapped up in it, and they constantly give him money, and they constantly give him money, and they constantly give him money, and it just turns into worse and worse, and then person ends up ODing. And it's sad when that happens, and it's sad that, you know, you got 40% of these guys can't pass a drug test up there, but we have a very, very aggressive drug culture. I mean, drugs have always been prevalent throughout humanity. There's no question about it. I mean, all throughout, there's been used. The problem is now, everything is so strong, and it's become so aggressive as far as the way it's pushed on everybody through pharmaceuticals, because, you know, back in the day, when people used to use stuff where they could smoke opium, which that's not healthy either, but now you start having these pills like 80 milligram extended release OxyContins. That's a really, really, really strong compound. And the fact that it's got a 12-hour time release is even stronger. And so these are the things that we've seen now that have exploded on the American population. And we really have to start working together in aggregate with families and friends. If you have somebody that's really having an issue with this stuff, work with them. Help with them. Try to do the best you can to get them off this stuff, because that's really sad up in Ohio, man. Almost half of them are failing a drug test. That's really sad, Dad.
Well, you know, you really don't know what to say about that, because it's so crazy that,
yeah,
it's almost mind-boggling that 30-40% of the people can't pass a simple drug. I mean, we're talking like pot or something, or of course, there's opiates out there now, too. By the way, this is some Washington Post garbage again, and I want to read this to you because it was sent to me by Brad Parton, and it's one of the biggest things I've ever seen as far as a complete and total lie. I mean, and this is crazy. It says 59,000 farmers now have committed suicide in India over the past 30 years, and they're saying it may be linked to climate change. This is a complete and total lie. What this is that they have introduced about 30 years ago, they started sending the Monsanto seeds into India and throughout the world, and these farmers can't feed their families anymore because these are Terminator seeds. They grow one crop of corn or one crop of anything, and you can't replant the seed. And for generations, they've been able to reuse the seed. That's what the Bible talks about, the parable of the seed and the sower. You get to take one-tenth of your seed, and you put it away for the next year's harvest. That's what they're talking about. And these guys can't do that anymore, and they're not being able to be productive any longer, so they don't consider themselves worth anything over there anymore. So they figure they're going to pretty much, I guess, if they're Hindu, they're going to just die and come back as something else. And that's why 59,000 of them have killed themselves. And now they're trying to say these guys are killing themselves because of climate change. Another complete and total lie that these guys are posting at the Washington Post office. And what do you think?
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. I mean, when you see this stuff, well, obviously the Washington Post, I mean, I think if I'm not mistaken, Bezos owns them, who's the Amazon owner, who's just total globalist CIA boy. So you know they're obviously pushing this stuff because all these guys are colluding together with Monsanto. You're exactly right. That's what they've done over in Africa, too. I talked about in that article a couple months ago where they're going in, they're saying you can't give or sell your patented seeds even to your sister or your neighbor or your friend at all. If you do so, we're basically going to fine you and throw you in jail. Well, got to remember, for thousands and thousands of years now, mankind has always planted seeds, taken the seeds, stored the seeds, replanted the seeds. That's how you grow crops. When we started basically allowing these guys to play God with these seeds and put these Terminator genes in them, we allowed them and handed them total control of the food population, because now they have the ability to control anybody they don't want to have seeds, or when they do want seeds, they can give them to them. When they don't want them, they don't have them, and they terminate. So they can't sit there and keep planting the same thing, and that's exactly what's going on with this. All the mainstream media does nothing but lie. So when you see a lot of these articles, when it comes out like this, you really have to do some research, because there may be some truth to the base story they're talking about, but they always try and twist the narrative in their favor to make, you know, the story seem the way it's supposed to go. That way they can control the population's mind and continue to feed us all this garbage and all these lies, because, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, it's a war for our minds, and that's exactly where it's going, because if they can control the population, what we think, what we do, what we say, it's much easier to keep the population under submission and under control. Much easier that way, Dad. And that's what they've done now with the food, because food has always been one of the easiest ways to control population. You can control the food, you can pretty much control what anybody does, because most people, when they start getting hungry, they're willing to do almost anything in order to get food for themselves and their family. And Monsanto learned that a long time ago, hence why they have Terminator genes.
No, you're absolutely right. It's about control. Oh, by the way, Laura Ingraham has dropped a bombshell. She said that many Republicans want Trump to fail. In fact, I know also that many Republicans are wanting the Democrats to basically take over the Congress again in the 2018 election so they can impeach Trump. These are the Republicans that are saying this. They're allowing themselves to be actually taken out of office, not running proper campaigns, to let the Democrats come in, get a majority to take Trump out. This is crazy. And the sad but true, but Laura Ingraham has dropped a massive truth bomb. Instead of rowing along with the rest of us, many Republicans have been drilling holes in the boat that we are all in. They're hoping that we all sink and that President Donald Trump does not succeed. She told Sean Hannity that a lot of them don't want Donald Trump to succeed. She continued, a lot of them don't like his policies, before adding that people like Arizona Senator Jeff Flake are nothing more than a significant Chamber of Commerce wing of the Republican Party. I mean, this is some crazy stuff that's going on. With Ingrid straight calls it out. She's one of the largest talk show folks out there right now. And guys, she's straight calling it out. You know what I like about this, Austin? These alternative media people, in fact, Laura, she's on some mainstream media shows, they're actually coming around to our way of thinking. You know, Rush Limbaugh started this about 2013 ago, and he started talking, and then Alex picked it up, went even further. Because Rush is covering topics he never would touch before. See, it was sacrosanct in radio that you never, ever attacked your own party. It was okay to attack the Republicans. It was okay to attack the Democrats, but you couldn't attack both of them. You couldn't say, so-and-so did a crappy job if you were Republican, if you were Bush full abortion. You couldn't do it. I remember years ago I was on the show, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's one of the top 10 talk shows in the country. And he had me on, and we were talking about Ebola or something else. I forgot, it was like 3 years ago. And I didn't realize how big his show was. It was huge. And all of a sudden, I started talking to him about everything, and all of a sudden, I bring up 9/11. And he got real quiet. And I said, and quite frankly, I said, we got to ask a lot of questions. Like, we have to ask why Building 7 fell down in 9/11. And basically, that was the end of the interview. That was it, done. Because that was under George Bush, from this guy's Republican. So he shut the interview down immediately, shut it down. And then I have friends who were listening to his show in his area because it was so big, and they said he slammed me when I got off the air, that was just a conspiracy theory thing, and that there's nothing wrong with 9/11 and that Building 7 came down because of fires and all this other kind of garbage. And, you know, that's the thing you've got to look at, you've got to watch. Is what are they saying and who are they saying it to? But these guys now are breaking that sacrosanct rule. And these people are speaking against their own parties. They're speaking against the other parties. They're speaking against their own congressmen, their own senators. And that's never happened before. You know, Savage has been really a big pusher on this, too. And so I'm just so happy that we, the alternative media, are having that big of an impact in the conservative talk show media, that people are finally telling the truth. I mean, we were the first one to straight call that Megyn Kelly out. I mean, gosh, are you kidding me? With that whole thing, with that first interview she did with Trump, it was a joke. So we started calling her out. She's a right-wing news commentator on Fox News, and she's nothing, not even close to that. She's a complete liberal attorney is what she is, and now she showed her true colors. And the sad part about it is that, you know, she tried to do a complete and total butcher job on that first interview on Trump, And boy, I tell you what, he came out smelling like a robe on him. So his rose on him. Like, so I'm really, really glad that she's getting her comeuppance and all this stuff. And quite frankly, I'd be really happy when Megyn Kelly's off the air. It's been another has-been, and it's completely and totally gone. What's your next story, bud?
Yes, absolutely. Well, this is pretty wild now. Typically, more, you know, a more developed country, the more spends on healthcare, you know, the longer its people live generally sometimes. The U.S. now, which spends the most on healthcare out of every country in the world, compared to 35 other countries and the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, has a life expectancy of 78.8 years, and that ranks at 27th out of 35 that they compared to in here. So we're 27th out of 35 as far as life expectancy, yet we have the highest healthcare cost. It has the fourth, oh, the United States then has the fourth highest infant mortality rate, the sixth highest maternal mortality rate, and the ninth highest likelihood of dying at a younger age from a host of ailments, including disease, diabetes, or cancer. The U.S. is also the most obese country in the OECD out of the 35. It leads in the drug-related deaths and ranks 33 in diabetes. So it's basically the fattest country with the highest health care with very, very low at the bottom as far as life expectancy. And people are wondering why everybody's so having any health issues. You start looking at these numbers, you see exactly what's going on. Unlike other countries in the OECD, the U.S. mostly relies on voluntary health insurance to fund health care costs. Public health insurance such as Medicare and Medicaid accounts for 27% of the coverage. By contrast, the 10 countries with the highest life expectancy depend on voluntary insurance for an average of less than 6% of their cost. That shows you exactly right there that these outrageous, unbelievably expensive insurance premiums, insurance rates, crazy deductibles are doing nothing to help out with life expectancy, are doing nothing to help out with overall health and long-term health of the population, but simply to line the pockets of a lot of these big insurance companies and make a plethora of money for the pharmaceutical companies, who in turn just roll out pills like candy. Remember last year, the United States spent right around, if I'm not mistaken, $460 billion on pharmaceutical drugs in just 1 year alone. So that goes to show you right there, and we rank 27 out of 35 as far as life expectancy. So that goes to show you right there, these guys don't care about our health. They don't care about our longevity. It's all about making money. The same thing I went back to the beginning of the show with the Blue Cross Blue Shield and their bonuses for making sure these kids are vaccinated, Dad.
You're absolutely right, Austin. That's why we always, and again, I want to say this one more time, and this is why we talk about the vaccines on a continual basis, and it's this. Let's say, for instance, we decide, that Austin and I decide, we're not going to talk about vaccines for 6 months, and we have somebody come in, and they basically start doing the listening to the show, and all of a sudden their child gets vaccinated, gets autism, and then we do a show on autism, and the person calls us up and says, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you tell us this? I mean, how did this happen? I mean, we should have known. I don't want to be that guy. Years ago, let me tell you a true story. All my stories are true, by the way. I just don't have to make anything up. It's just, they're pretty bizarre. Essentially. And you got to get cliff notes of some of these stories over here in Greece. What's interesting, I remember years ago, I wrote that book, Maximum Solutions to ADD, Autism and Learning Disabilities of Children. And it got way behind in the publication. It should have been out, I think it came out like April or May. It should have been out in January. And I was still doing counseling sessions at that point. This is almost 20 years ago. And I remember I had an appointment with a man who called me up, and he said that he wanted to talk to me, so I was talking to him, and he said that he started crying when I got on the phone. He goes, I just read your book. I just found out about Prozac. I just found out what it did. I just found out about the suicide rates. And he goes, I ordered this book 2 months ago. I didn't get it until now because it was late coming from the publisher. And he goes, my son was like a high school honor student, you know, like class president. And he started getting a little depressed because he got behind in his studies, and we took him to the pediatrician. The pediatrician gave him Prozac, and he was on Prozac for 2 weeks, and he went out and he hung himself. We found him dead in his bedroom, hanging by a ceiling fan. Now, guys, how do you think I felt from that? How do you think I felt? I mean, I couldn't help what my publisher did, the clowns they were. They should have gotten that book out. I was devastated. I told the guy couldn't stop crying. I said, sir, I don't know what to say. I can pray with you. I'm so sorry, dude. I didn't have any idea that Prozac would make these kids kill themselves. And I said, yeah, it's a suicide drug. It doesn't stop suicide. It makes people commit suicide. And I said, it's just, that's why it carries a black box warning. I said, it's a crazy drug. It messes with the brain chemistry. And he goes, oh, I only wish I'd have read that book. See, guys, I don't want to ever have that conversation again. Now, I'm kind of like getting a little teared up here on this because I don't like talking about this, but I don't ever want to have that conversation again. I don't ever want to be that guy that gets that conversation because I didn't tell somebody their kid's got autism now. So you guys are just going to have to bear with us on this autism stuff because I'm not going to back off this. And, you know, I'm a vaccine denier, period. That's it. I'm also a Prozac denier. I'm also a doggone statin denier.
Statin denier.
All the stuff. Yeah, stuff junk. Now, here's an interesting story. There's a pastor who was working at Elevation, his name is Church Elevation, and his contract expired. His name is Stephen Furtick, F-U-R-T-I-C-K. Apparently, he's a really good preacher, and he didn't get his contract renewed at what he wanted to as far as the level. And this is a stunning move. He now has been hired by the Lakewood Church with Joel Osteen, and Pastor Stephen Furtick has signed a 6-year, $110 million contract with Lakewood Church. Now, I don't even know what to say about this. Okay, I'm going to withhold comments on this because I believe that preachers should be blessed. I got that, okay? But 6-year, $110 million contract, that's like, you know, what, just under $20 million a year. He preaches an associate pastor with Joel Osteen. And I know Joel Osteen's ministry is bringing in over $100 million a year. I got that. And he's probably burning out, to be honest with you guys. I know Joel. But, you know, I haven't talked to him in years. But I've got a good friend of mine who talks to him all the time. But Joel's, you know, he does a lot. He's always gone doing seminars all over the place. So apparently he wanted to bring somebody in at just under $20 million a year for the next 6 years as an associate pastor at the Lakewood Church there in Houston. So it's interesting to me because I don't really know what to say about this. Except that that's a lot of money. You know, this is like we're talking NFL, basketball, baseball stars at the top of the game making this kind of money. So you guys let me know what you think. Send us some emails. Let me know what you think, if you think it's right, if you think it's wrong, if you think the money could be abused better elsewhere, if you think the guy's being overpaid, if you think he's not getting paid enough. I don't know. I don't know him that well. I do know Joel Osteen, and if I do see Joel, I will ask him what he thinks about this, but obviously he must think pretty highly of it or he would not have brought this guy in, but I do know that he's very good friends with Furtick. They're good, they're really close friends. I do know that for sure. So I just want to bring that up, let you guys think about it. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, that's a good deal of money, man. I mean, that's pretty serious. So we'll see what everybody thinks about that. But I mean, yeah, that's big boy money. Well, also, Vault 7, you guys know what the WikiLeaks released. The latest installment of Vault 7, Unmasked Project Dumbo. Yes, this one's interesting. Details of the CIA's Dumbo project, which is a system that manipulates devices such as webcams and microphones on Microsoft Windows operating systems, has now been published out on WikiLeaks. The program also corrupts video recordings, according to the leaked document. The whistleblowing organization released the files as part of their Vault 7 series on the CIA's hacking capability. According to WikiLeaks, the technology is intended for use where the deployment of a special branch within the CIA Center for Cyber Intelligence could be compromised. Dumbo can identify, control, and manipulate monitoring and detection systems on a target computer running the Microsoft Windows operating system. The earliest Dumbo document released by WikiLeaks today is dated June 25th, 2012. So they've been operating on this thing for over 5 years now. The tool delivery review document states that the system's capability are being requested by the CIA special branch to deter home security systems that may identify officers or prevent operations. This is very, very strange now. The document indicates that the thumb drive, when it's connected to the machine for Dumbo to work, for the log to be maintained, the thumb drive Dumbo is executed from must remain plugged into the system throughout the duration of the operation. It identifies installed devices such as webcams, microphones, locally or connected by wireless, Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, or wired networks, and it can block all processes related to the devices, including recording and monitoring devices. The user guide dated for June 2015 set out Dumbo's capacity to mute microphones, disable all network adapters, and suspend camera recording. The program notifies its operator of any files to which these processes were actively writing so they can be selectively corrupted or deleted. WikiLeaks suggested by deleting or manipulating recordings, the operator can create fake or destroy real evidence of their intrusion into the device. So this just goes to show you, which again, most of the listeners and we already know, the CIA is totally out of control. They're pretty much a rogue government agency that runs everything in the black ops. These guys, pretty much there's no limit to what these guys do on computers as far as their hacking capabilities, their malware that they produce. Remember I talked last year, beginning of the year, when they WikiLeaks put out the Weeping Angel program malware device that goes into the Samsung TV. And basically, even when the TV looks like it's turned off, the microphone on the TV stays on and it can record all of your conversations in the room for any period of time that they want. Spying, this is beyond spying technology now. This is not James Bond. This is none of that anymore. This is straight up globalist surveillance control tyrannical government. That's what this is now. This has nothing to do with trying to monitor this or trying to protect national security. This is all about knowing what every citizen in the United States is doing at any time so they can build a database on your conversations, your internet searches, what you do on your phone, what you say in private. If they have anything that they corrupt in the system, as you see with this, they can shut different systems off. They can block it. So it's pretty creepy, man. But again, this is just what we've allowed the CIA to turn into, and that's why I wanted to bring that up today, Dad. It's not surprising, but it's definitely just more stuff that WikiLeaks keeps putting out on the CIA.
Well, I wish they would just dump their whole database and start doing it over. But, of course, what I've learned is when they do that, when they dump up too much at once, everybody forgets about it after a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
so I guess
exactly.
A continual stream of leaks continually re-ups what's going on, because if they had dumped everything back when they were dumping all that stuff on Hillary Clinton, dumped all their files, what would have happened is long ago we would have forgotten about this. And so now we're continually being told how we're being taken advantage of by our own government. Michael Schneider wrote a really good article. I know, Mike, I had him on the Power Hour when I was hosting that for Joy several years ago. And he wrote an article here, it's dated August 2nd. It's called 16 Facts That Prove America Is in Deep Trouble. And I like it enough that I'm going to read part of it. When Ronald Reagan won his first election, the U.S. national debt was less than $1 trillion. When Barack Obama, the gay Kenyan, entered the White House, I added that, it was sitting at $10.6 trillion. When the Republicans took over the House of Representatives in 2010, it was $14 trillion. And now we've reached $20 trillion. That's $100 million an hour we're adding to the national debt. Now, you heard that right, $100 million an hour. In 1956, approximately all 5% of babies in the United States were born to unwed mothers. Today, it's 40% are born to unwed mothers, and that's primarily because of the programs that are out there for unwed mothers, allowing them to receive government aid if they're not married. It's kind of crazy, but that's what they do. And, of course, you guys know that. In the early 70s, over 60% of Americans were considered middle class, but that number is under 50% now. It's going down, down, down. In 2001, nearly 16 million Americans could not afford the homes they were currently living in. In 2015, that number is more than doubled. Over 30% cannot afford the homes they're currently living in. Our system of public education is a disaster. A study of millennials in 22 major industrialized nations conducted by the Educational Testing Service found that only two countries were worse when it comes to literacy proficiency, and we were dead last when it comes to math out of the 22 industrialized countries last. That's because of Common Core, guys. 1 + 1 = 5. I mean, I still don't understand that. In the early 1970s, 70% of the United States men of the age of 20 to 39 were married, but today that number's fallen to just 35%, half. Instead of getting married and starting families, they're living at home with their parents, or they're living with a woman so they get free subsidies for their children. Number 7, many Americans don't realize this, but the United States has the highest rate of illegal drug use on the entire planet. We actually have an even bigger problem with legal drugs. According to a study conducted by the Mayo Clinic, nearly 70% of all Americans are on at least one prescription drug. 70%, guys, 7 out of 10. An astounding 20% of all Americans are at least 5 prescription drugs. You heard that. 20% of the population is on 5 prescription drugs. 20%, that's over 60, 70 million people on 5 prescription drugs. course, this is what the pharmaceutical guys want to do.
It's crazy legislation. Are you
right,
back, Dad?
That's right. I'm back. Can you hear me okay?
Okay, yeah, you're gone. You're gone for about the last 45 seconds. I thought we lost you.
Oh, I'm back. Well, let me cover this last thing. I was talking about how many married guys were in the United States. Where'd I leave off?
Yeah, talking about basically the Common Core and the education. That's pretty much where it cut off.
Yeah, and many Americans don't realize the United States has the highest rate of drug use on the entire planet. 70% of all Americans are on at least one prescription drug, and an astounding 20% are at least five prescription drugs. This is crazy. According to the CDC, 110 million Americans currently have a sexually transmitted disease, and there are approximately 20 million new STD cases in the United States every single year. I mean, that's a third of the population, guys, have STD. God, I'm glad I'm married.
Yeah.
I'm just glad I'm married. Thanks to decades of unchecked illegal immigration, membership in criminal gangs has absolutely exploded. Listen to this, guys. There are 150,000 gang members right now living in Chicago, 10 times as many police. 150,000 gang guys in Chicago. Today, there are more than 4 million adult websites on the Internet, and they get more traffic than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined. Addiction to these websites is becoming a major national crisis. Little is being done. 68% of all Christian men in America view adult material on a regular basis. Now, I'm going to stop here for this for just a second. In the middle of your brain, there's a thing called the nucleus accumbens. And when a guy sees a pornographic picture or a naked woman or whatever, that's why you shouldn't be looking at that kind of stuff, this nucleus accumbens tightens up. And it's the same feeling that you get when you see a plate of food after you've been starving for 3 weeks. It's like something you have to have. And what it does is a dopamine trigger in the brain. It's extremely addictive with the nucleus accumbens. That's why you really don't want to get into a habit if you're young of looking at this stuff. And if you're an older guy and you're looking at it, you've got to really learn to control yourself and not do that, because it's one of the most addictive things that people get into. And that's why Michael Schneider says 68% of Christian men do this on a regular basis. When a federal income tax was introduced in 1913, very simple, about 2%, that was it. Now it's over, it was about 2 million words long right now. I mean, and the regulations are more than 7 million words long. Can't even figure out. I just have by time. I have my CPA pay my taxes. Our government continues to waste money in absolutely insane ways. For example, the U.S. military actually spends $42 million a year on Viagra. There you go. That's how you like that. We're a very extremely unhappy nation. If you can believe it, doctors in the United States write more than 250 million prescriptions for antidepressants each year. You heard that right. 250 million prescriptions for antidepressants in the United States every single year. I mean, we've got Prozac and all this stuff all over the place with people. This is very sad. See, I saw a sign today in a window here in Athens. It was a jewelry store, and it had a big neon sign. It was all lit up in the window, and it says, "You can have it all." That's the mantra of a lot of people nowadays. You can have it all. Guys, the Bible says that we're to be content wherever we are and whatever we're doing. It says that it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Guys, and we have to understand something. We need to be content in where we are and what we're doing. Now, I'm not saying we don't need to be activists and we don't need to be talking to people about the truth and talking about the Ted and Austin Brower show or any show you want to talk about that's going to give them real news or about immunizations or whatever. But what it means is that you can't be constantly on that bandwagon, that squirrel cage of run, try to pay the bills. You don't need to spend money you don't have, you know, on things you don't need to impress people you don't know. I know over here on this trip that I'm on right now, I'm doing it all on points. I got free airline flights coming over, got free hotel rooms, free food in the rooms. I mean, everything's on points. So it just makes it really easy to do stuff like this, especially when I'm doing it and doing reports from the talk show. Somebody said to me, well, it's a big write-off for you to go over there to do these reports from these shows and talking to all these people. I said, there's no write-off. It didn't cost anything. I said, it's all on point.
Yeah.
I said, I'm doing this on the radio every single night because I love you guys. I mean, there's no write-off here. So I want you guys to know that this is something I'm doing to the best of my ability to stay frosty with you folks and with Austin, because this is my calling right now for this stage of my life. I really feel God led me to do this 6 years ago, this summer now, when he spoke to me in that dream and basically got me moving again. And I want to be that guy that goes to heaven and stands before God, and he says to me, well done, good and faithful servant.
And I've got to do that, as far as I'm concerned, in order to feel fulfilled right now in this part of my life in my 60s, because I'm not going to sit around and go play golf and wait to die. I have no interest in that. I want to be active and alert and keep things going the best I can for as long as I can, guys. Now, I segued. In 2007, 54% of all Americans were opposed to gay marriage, and only 37% wanted it to be legalized. Today, 62% of Americans support gay marriage, and only 32% are still against it. That's sad. That's what they've done to us with good old Barocky boy. The average rate of economic growth over the past 10 years has been exactly equal to the average rate that the U.S. economy grew during the 1930s. I was stunned when I discovered the U.S. economy had only grown an average yearly rate of 1.3% during the past 10 years, and that is the exact same average yearly that the economy grew in the decade of the 1930s. Guys, the bomb, the crazy stuff that happened in 2007, 2008, the country's not recovered from that. The unemployment rate, we still have 100 million people either underemployed or unemployed and falling off the employee rolls. It's crazy. Roe versus Wade was decided in 1933. Almost 60 million American children have been, murdered. I'm saying sacrificed to the Sabbateans and America's abortion mills. Sadly, the number of children that are aborted every day in the country is roughly to the number of Americans that lost their lives in 9/11. If we do not put an end to this, there's not going to be any sort of future for this nation, but that's what they want, remember, because they want the immigrants to come in and take over for the Protestants and the Catholics that were here, who founded this nation, who settled this nation, who developed this nation, along with the black folks that came over who were the slaves we owed a huge debt to for what they did as far as building the nation up and working in the fields and doing the stuff they did in the South. And I'm not going to forget that either. I mean, we're all a nation, black, white, American Indian, we're all here. We're all part of it. Protestants, Catholics, all of us. We've got even the Muslims who want to be part of our country, who've been here for decades, who want to integrate and become part of our value systems here. I don't have a big problem with anybody working together with us. But guys, as a country, we have to work together as a team. We've got to learn to be colorblind, race blind, creed blind, as long as everybody pulls together. We can't kick against the goad. That's the oxen term in the Old Testament, New Testament. When two oxen were pulling together a wagon, and one, they had little spikes at the base of the wagon, so if the oxen was pulling harder than the other oxen, he would kick against the goat, and he'd poke himself in the back of the leg, and he'd learn to pull evenly. We've got to learn to pull evenly, be colorblind, race blind, creed blind, everything blind, but guys, we have to be Americans. That's the problem that we've done. We've stopped allowing ourselves to be Americans. We stopped raising little Americans, and guys, it's so important that we hold the candle to the fire and we realize that we've got to turn the tide back. That's why so many of us voted for Donald Trump. I just wish he'd clean those stinking Goldman Sachs Sabbateans out of the White House and off his cabinet and all these positions he's put them in. Anyhow, that's Michael Snyder's little thing. Austin, what do you think?
Wow, yeah, those are some eye-opening points. There's no question about it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that, and that's what I talked about a minute ago as far as the quality of the health in the United States. All that stuff has started to degrade, and we all have to work together. That's one thing you're absolutely right about. Also, too, in other news now with YouTube, is they're continuing their tyrannical goal with the globalists, essentially, as on August 1st, this was 2 days ago, 2017, the YouTube blog provided an update on their tyrannical censorship policies, where under the guise of updating users on their commitment to fight terror content online, they will be implementing literally full Nazi tactics to hide content that is controversial but do not violate policies. So now they're going to start basically blocking stuff. I'll read it to you here. It's not against their policies, doesn't violate the policies, but it's controversial. Let me see here. They said by using cutting-edge machine learning technology, which they're using bots now that they're training, designed to help us identify and remove violent extremism content in a scalable way. This is the memo they put out. We'll soon be applying tougher treatment to videos that aren't illegal but have been flagged by users as potential violations of our policies on hate speech. If we find that these videos don't violate our policies, but they still do contain controversial religious or supremacist content, they will be placed in a limited state. The videos will remain on YouTube. They will not be recommended, but they will not be monetized, and they will not have key features, including comments, suggested videos and likes. So in other words, what they're doing here, if the political commentary or religious commentary is considered non-compliant with the ideology of the groups that run YouTube, which we know is total liberal globalist, especially if what we've seen them put on the front page over the last couple months with their transgender push and their stupid videos they keep trying to force everybody to watch when you go on YouTube about how great transgender is and how everybody needs to be accepting of this weird deviant behavior. So those videos, if they don't agree with the videos, if you have something on 9/11, if you have something on anti-vaccines, if you have the truth on statins, and they, it doesn't violate any policies, but it goes against something that they don't like and it's controversial, they're going to be hidden. They're not going to have the ability to be shared, so the icons won't be up there. You can't write a comment on them, and you will not be able to monetize them if you're the creator. So this is where they're headed now, is they're trying to do everything they can. Because remember, YouTube, a couple years ago, YouTube got huge because, and it's been big for a while, but it really got big because you could literally post almost any video you wanted on there, as long as it wasn't something like, you know, graphically violent. And the world could see it. So, I mean, you could put some serious videos up there with a lot of truth. Now what they're having to do is they found that this YouTube is a double-edged sword, because not only can they put their unbelievably disgusting rhetoric videos they want up on there about transgenders, you can also put videos about 9/11 and Sandy Hook and vaccines and statin drugs. So now what they're doing is they're trying to couple all that together into another group saying, well, they're controversial, but they don't violate our policies. So we don't necessarily, we're not going to take them down, but we're essentially going to make it impossible for you to find them. And it gets worse. YouTube now has also decided that if a, you get this, you'll love this, if a user, so if you or I go on there and searches for something specific that they have flagged as sensitive keywords that are controversial, they will now redirect those search results, and I quote, towards a playlist of curated YouTube videos that directly confront and debunk the extremist messages. So not only are they going to block these videos and try and hide them so you can't see them, if you search for these videos, they're intentionally going to direct you to search results that have a playlist that directly confront and debunk them. So if you say the truth on vaccine deaths or the truth on statin drugs and their side effects, and they don't want that, they put that in their sensitive keywords now, they don't want to put out information on that, they're going to send you to videos in the search result that are pro-vaccine and are pro-statin drugs or are pro-9/11 being a total, complete Islamic job that nobody had anything about and Building 7 collapsed because there was a fire 500 yards away from it. That's what they're going trying to push now. So these are the actions, essentially, of people who fundamentally do not believe in human freedom, which is the globalist, and they are not content with allowing people to choose for themselves. They have to impose the narrative on them. That's exactly what they're doing with the mainstream media. Now they're doing it with YouTube on any of these free content sites where you can go on and get actual real information. They're trying to block that from being seen now, that as well.
Well, we knew it was coming, but it's too late.
Yeah.
It's too late.
Yep.
It is too late. You know, I mean, the only thing I feel sorry for are the folks who basically have to monetize YouTube videos in order to pay the overhead. I feel bad for those guys. But you guys have allowed us not to do that. You've allowed us to support us through Health Masters products, through your multiple vitamins. So it's not going to affect us. It may affect our YouTube views. It may affect the search engines bringing our stuff up. Not going to affect our listenership at all. In fact, it'll make more people listen to our show because they'll be having a have a more difficult time trying to find the news and the truth of the news. So I'm really sad this is happening for all of my friends who basically monetize their videos in order to generate revenue for their businesses to try to cover their overheads. I feel really bad for them with that, because I know Forbidden Knowledge TV has talked about that, the Hagwas have talked about that, Sheila's talked about that, Dave's talked about that. I mean, you know, Alex has talked about that. So guys, I'd like to say to you guys, thank you. Thank you for being there for us and taking care of us and supporting us and getting your supplements from us. And, wow, I mean, just thank you. That's all I can do. Guys, I want you to know something. I appreciate you. I love you. I thank you, Pops, for being here with us. I'll be back on the show from Florida on Monday. I'll be flying tomorrow, so I'm not sure how Austin wants to do the show tomorrow. So, but I want to thank you so much for being here with us for the past 2 weeks when I've been doing all of this stuff. And just I appreciate you guys. I really do. One more final story, and I'll sign off for the night. Vitamin C is literally a lifesaver for patients with sepsis. For all its wonders, modern medicine still has its limitations, perhaps even more than they usually like to admit. Serious infections provide a window of insight that our most powerful antibiotics simply can't do it. But there's one thing that still takes care of most infections in the blood, and that is vitamin C, a humble vitamin with miraculous results because it turns into hydrogen peroxide in the system. I'm going into detail with you how it does that, and it basically kills a lot of the sepsis and a lot of these types of infections very, very quickly. So if you know somebody or you have a loved one that's in the hospital and they come down with sepsis, get them to a place, have the hospital, wherever, infuse them intravenously with 50,000 milligrams of vitamin C every day, every other day, whatever the doctor says, every third day, and it'll really help to combat this infection. Guys, I appreciate you. I love you. Awesome. I'll talk to you soon, buddy. God bless you guys. Talk to you live on Monday. Bye-bye.
Thank you, bud. Yes, guys, and we appreciate all the support. Like Dad said, you know, we're not having to rely on YouTube videos, and that's because of you guys, because our customer base and our supporters are taking care of us with this radio show. You know, you guys are buying your multiples through us. It helps pay for this show. You buy your supplements from us through healthmasters.com. It supports this, and then some of you guys even give us, you know, small donations to help with the show. All that stuff adds up together to where we don't have to run infomercials on this. We don't have to run ads on our website, and we appreciate that, because that has been one of the biggest things I told Dad, is I don't want to have to turn this into an infomercial and have multiple commercials every time throughout the show. We wanted to give you guys 57 minutes of straight, raw, unbiased news media every single day, Monday through Friday, and we appreciate you guys for allowing us to do that and listen to us every single day. On the website at healthmasters.com, I told you guys yesterday the product of the week has won, which was the magnesium sports oil, which is our ionic magnesium solution. Has multiple different oils in it as well. Very, very good for muscle spasms. Really good for blood flow to the muscles. Very, very good for sore muscles as well. Check that out. And also be sure to vote on the other products that are up for product of the week. It looks like the B-complex and the chelation therapy have already taken off very, very strong to go on sale. They've been getting a lot of votes, which doesn't surprise me. The chelation's an incredibly good product at detoxifying and pulling heavy metals out. And of course, the B-complex is awesome. I mean, it's great for the nervous system. It's good for the adrenals, the brain. B vitamins are super important. And magnesium is important. That's why we carry the magnesium topical, and we carry magnesium oral in capsules and in powder. So be sure to check that stuff out and all the kits that we have on sale right now at healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night. And I think we'll be running tape tomorrow. If not, I'll be running the show by myself. And so you guys have an awesome night, and we'll talk to you again later.